Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Oh, yeah. Good morning, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Let's get our heads right on a Wednesday, November 13th, year 2024. Great to be here with you this fine morning. You can probably tell I'm not 100%. Been fighting, not really a cold, just losing my voice a little bit. And just kind of feeling run down and cold. But I don't feel sick, per se. I'm just a little bit thrashed right now. That's how I feel. We'll get to these fellas here. Paul Reindel, I'm Woodsy, by the way. Paul Reindel's our executive producer. Paulie, how are you feeling?
Hey, how are you?
Doing great.
Sore.
Paulie had to play all 40 minutes of his adult basketball league game last night and had to bang around in the paint with a big old dude and get all sweaty and
just banging dudes.
Dudes in the paint. You know, sometimes you got to bang when you're down there.
We had somebody that was sick, somebody that couldn't get there in time from work, somebody that had Aztec tickets. We were my roster of 10.
Yeah,
we had five guys there, and
no timeouts. I mean, no subs,
no rest.
Yeah,
we utilized one timeout.
Nice,
had a lead the whole game.
Got the win.
Yeah, but man, I'll tell you, it was not that long ago. Even when I was playing basketball regularly again, trying to get back into it, wasn't that long ago. I could not have just physically ran 40 minutes.
There's no way.
Coming home or whatever, getting the shower, you're like, I feel good.
Yeah, you feel good.
That was a box check off.
Yeah, you feel like you accomplished something. 100%. Ben Higgins, what did you accomplish yesterday? Did you bang any guys in the paint?
I didn't. No. I don't feel run down like either of you, though.
You feel
so
good?
I need to come up with some sort of malady.
Some ailment.
Match your, you know, just general malaise and Paulie's soreness and... Just, you know, 40 minutes of running hard in the paint with big men all night.
Banging in the paint.
I did not bang. I did not, I don't feel run down. I actually feel pretty good.
Good. Well, we're going to need you to carry us today is what I'm trying to tell you. That's pretty much
good news.
In a nutshell, that's what we're saying. I also woke up at 1:30. That probably has something to do with it.
I'm sure that did.
One of those days, man.
You're still feeling your Saturday night out?
No, not even a little.
You're definitely recovered from that.
Yeah, I vomited that up the next day, all my liquors from Saturday night. I vomited up the liquors and felt fine then. And no, I feel great from that. It's just the tiredness, you know, the off season. I was telling somebody recently, I said, it's wild. Like, the baseball season ends, and you watch up to the last pitch of the World Series, and then there's this sort of, like release, you know, because we're in it so deep from basically, you know, first pitch of spring training and everything else, cover it all, don't really miss a beat, and you go pretty hard for that whole time, and you just kind of keep your head down and plow through it, and then when it ends, no matter how it ended for us, which wasn't great, there's just this sense of, like, like a deflating, but almost relief, but just everything, you're like, all right, I can let go a little bit. And then once that happens, you kind of start to find yourself a little bit more tired, a little bit more run down, because I feel like I'm just clenching my jaw for about 8 months a year. Just, let's go. Let's get through this. Let's do it.
And then you realize you're just watching the games, right?
Yeah, I know. But like covering them, having to pay attention. It's so funny, too, because I was watching the Aztecs game last night. And, you know, when I'm watching a Padre game, you can scroll on your phone. You have a good old time watching the game. You're maybe tweeting about the game. You can't do it when you're watching Aztecs basketball or any basketball. It's too fast-paced. I missed so much when I was doing it, so I did watch some of that last night. Yeah, I realize I'm not playing in the game, but my brain is so focused on it for 8 months of the year that when it's over, I'm like, oh, it's just like.
I wonder how the players feel then. Do they have to go through like a month decompression after the season just before they can even finally start to relax and recover, just because it's such a grind for them. I mean, even more than the fans.
Oh, it's a million times worse for them with the travel and everything else. Think about that, man, and think about the. They need to put a pedometer on a player for the entire season. How many swings did Jackson Merrill? How many times did he swing? Because when they're in there hitting off the tee, they're swinging 75%. When they're hitting, you know, batting practice, they're swinging 85%. They're in a game, they get 4 ABs, they do it every single night, they're swinging 100%. And then, I need to get a little extra work. How many swings a year do these guys actually take? And go take a swing, see how you feel after. Take a full rip, see how you feel. Take 20, go down to Boomers, put a quarter in the slot, hit 20, you will be like this when you're done. I mean, and they do this all year long. I bet you when the season ends, they're like, I bet you 80% of them don't even watch a playoff game. I bet you they're like, we're out, I'm out. And I don't blame them one single bit. Because if I feel that way, like I'm letting something go after that long, you know they got to be dying. All the ground balls, all the throwing, all the warm-ups, all the stretching, all the visits to the training room to get your knee worked. I mean, what a grind of a season. Now, they're paid handsomely for it, so I'm not going to feel too bad for them. But, yeah, man, I've just kind of had that, like, run-down feeling since the season ended.
It's going to pass quickly, though. I mean, you said it. It's already November 13th.
Yeah,
man. I don't know where 2024 went, but I was just thinking, man, it's almost 2025.
Yeah.
And the new year will be here before you know it, and then we'll be heading out to spring training, like, very quickly. You know, the calendar changes fast in the offseason.
It does, man. It does. It's about to crank up. I got SEALs starting up in a couple weeks, which is insane. Got to get my head right for that. So there's a lot going on here in the old Ben and Woods camp. We've got our Christmas and holiday extravaganza. That's coming up on December 20th. You want to make sure you take that day off work so you can sit cozy on the couch, drinking eggnog, watching the Ben and Woods Christmas and Holiday Extravaganza. We have a meeting about that today. We're going to be doing meetings about that for the next 6 weeks. And that's always a fun time of year as well. Excuse me.
You really are very consistent in the opening segment that you... That almost happens almost every day.
Almost every day.
In the first segment.
Just trying to get, this is what foreplay is for.
And then usually you get it out of your system,
yeah,
and I don't hear it the rest of the show.
Yep.
But it's funny how almost every first segment, if you listen closely, you'll hear Woods belch.
Who doesn't like to clear a little gas during foreplay?
Your turn, Ben.
Yeah, I couldn't
do it on command if I was offered $1,000 right now. Couldn't do it.
Couldn't burp.
Couldn't do it.
I couldn't either on command. That's about as good as I can get. No, you faked it.
I faked it like
my kids do it. My kids do the same thing. They can't do it either.
They can't do it.
No, that's not it. I do this bit at home, and it freaks them out. I do the where I pop my cheek.
I can do that.
Well, but they can't. They can't do it. Yeah. And so they go, like they make little noises, like they're faking it.
Ooh, that's a good one, Paul.
I like the water drip. Ooh, I've never been able to do that. I'm faking it. I'm trying to whistle it.
Do it.
Well, that's really good. Make a note to get some Dodger content up on our YouTube feed today. Because, I mean, I need some gas money. So these guys, we put up anything right now. And we're not doing this on purpose.
No,
we're just doing our show every single day like we do.
Building the channel.
Paulie puts up a couple videos on YouTube after the show. Sends me a screenshot. And it was us talking about Roky Sasaki and how nice it would be for us to get Roky Sasaki. And how if he goes to the Dodgers, he's a chump. And if he comes here, he's beloved.
Yesterday's, you know, show topic in a nutshell.
Right. Bro, they lost and lose their minds. We are in their heads. So they just won a World Series, and they're coming to our pace. Like, that's what I truly don't understand. But keep it coming. Make sure you get something up today.
I think when I left here yesterday morning, you know, it went live at like 8 o'clock. It was just our 6:30 segment.
Yeah, 6:30 segment.
A segment from the show. But if you missed the show or something, here's the condensed version. Yeah. Here's kind of the highlight of the show. And I think when I left, I had a couple hundred views, maybe two comments. And then later in the afternoon, it must have jumped into the old Dodger algorithm or whatever.
Somebody gets them and sends them out.
It had a couple thousand views.
Oh, my
and
God.
So many comments. And when I just saw the number of comments, and I go, I know it happened.
Oh, yeah.
It happened again.
It happened again.
And I go and I look, and it's like, ha-ha, Ahmad, well, Dre's
yeah,
little brother is stupid.
Keep coping, losers. Everything misspelled, as usual.
You guys sound like idiots. He's a Dodger.
Yeah, it's really...
I wasn't joking when I said we could do a Dodger show.
There's no doubt. And make money.
And really still be ourselves. I think there'd be an audience for it.
What do you mean there'd be one? There is
there
one.
There already
they're
is.
They're here.
And they don't want us to be
like,
different. They don't want
talk
all
exclusively
of a sudden,
Dodgers, yeah. But we crap on them the
of
whole
course,
time?
Of the whole time. And I think that would be content that would be extremely popular
Brother,
among a very large segment
the
of their fan
base. If weren't good and relevant, like they are now, if we were doing our show, if we started instead of 2018 and 2012,
right.
We might have just done that, just changed the direction of the show. We're like, we're just going to be anti-Dodgers.
Just the whole thing.
Is there a segment of Padres fans who would seek out like another, I don't think there is a Dodger podcast that just, you know, craps on the Padres the entire time. But if there was, would you seek that out, that content?
I would not.
To try to find it.
No. I don't rage seek anymore. I used to rage seek. I don't do it anymore. I don't need it. I have enough negativity. I don't need to go searching for negativity. I get enough. You know, there's plenty. And I'm certainly not going to go listen to, you know, Dodger Boys podcast or something and be like, what did they say about Manny? Like, I don't care.
I think we can intelligently talk about the Dodgers, though,
sure.
Without, you know, a lot of bias. I mean, yes, we have a negative bias toward the Dodgers, but I think we can also look at them with clear eyes more than perhaps a lot of the fans in Los Angeles can look at that team.
I will never understand the Madres insult. Right?
I think I need to ring the massaging bell on them.
Yeah, ring it. Like, I love my Madre. I love my Madre so much. You guys love your Madres. I'm a Madre lover at home. You know, my wife.
Literal.
She's a literal Madre. And I love her. I love it every time. It's fantastic. So, I've never understood that knock. The Madre. So, they're moms? And is there something inherently bad with moms? I don't understand it. The SAD, when they say like Sadres.
There you go.
That's pretty good.
It's not
I'm like,
bad.
I'll
yeah.
tip my hat to it. It's a good, like when we did the Tax Dodgers, I thought that was pretty funny. That's you know, you can at least bust balls about it. The Tax Dodgers, because they don't pay taxes on Shohei and all that. Like, that's pretty interesting. But
shout out to all the moms out there.
Bro, all of you moms out there, you guys are fantastic. And I'm sorry, Dodger fans, that your moms don't love you and don't want to be in your life. I can't relate. My mom loves me very much.
It's starting
much.
To make a lot of sense, though. The lashing out.
The lashing out, the poor behavior. Yeah, it does make sense. All right, well, let me offer this to you guys. A hug. I'll give you a big old virtual hug from me. I'm a great hugger. And just let you know that it's not your fault.
What about the Ben and Woods Dodger Bonus Hour every day on YouTube?
Bonus. It's not your fault.
The Dodger Bonus Hour? I don't want to do an extra hour of Dodger talk every day. I know as much as you do. As much as you do, I don't want to. All right. So, hey, here's a hug.
Oh,
here's a hug from me to you. And I'm congratulations on your chip. And enjoy it. Enjoy the off season. You guys have earned it. I've told you. I've told you many times. You've earned the right to be insufferable. But if you're going to be insufferable, please continue to do it on our YouTube feed. Okay? Be as insufferable as you want on our YouTube feed. We really appreciate the extra cash.
Are we all warmed up now?
Here's our latest comment.
Oh, God.
This was back from our video after the postseason, after the NLDS. The video was, we did a segment, did the Padres choke?
Yeah.
And this guy, Donald, writes, give me a break. They didn't chalk. They acted like they won series after the third game. Baseball God, just only one.
Just one.
Put it to them because of the way they acted in the third game. In the end, they got what they deserved.
All right. What's his name?
Donald.
Donald. All right. Hey, Donald, if you feel that way, I don't know what to tell you. We did chalk. We chalked hard. And I hope we never chalk again. Especially in October.
24 scoreless innings, that's a chalk.
That's a chalk, dude. There's no other way to look at it than you chalked. Yeah, as our beloved Geekster says, the San Diego Padres is a phenomenal organization, so the joke is on them. We do love our Padres. We love our Padres, and we love the Padres. So there you go. Thanks for weighing in, guys. The spelling bee does need to happen, Carlos. More than anything. But they can't laugh at themselves. That's the problem.
That is a common thread I've noticed.
You have to be able to laugh at yourself. You have to be able to see the absurdity in what we are all fighting about, right? You have to see the absurdity in what your team has or hasn't done. And they have not realized, they have not gotten that true self-realization that at the end of the day, you guys won the chip. Be happy. You don't need to be coming here, but continue to come here and leave comments because it actually helps us a lot. So thank
Ben,
you.
Ben, the only one I can't respect from these three. He never speaks facts. He speaks as a Dodger hater. LOL. Couldn't accept the Padres.
That's me. He's talking about me.
I don't know.
Oh, wait. Yeah, because you said they didn't choke.
I said the Padres didn't choke.
Yeah. But you changed your mind.
No, not really.
Oh, boy.
They chalked. They chalked really hard.
Ooh, this is a good one. Make them spell Shohei Ohtani. That's really, really good. All right, write that down in case we can get three of them in here to find out the biggest moron in the Dodger fan base. It's going to take years of weeding through, but virtual hug from me to you guys.
All right, we got all of our gases out. We're ready to go.
Ready to go.
All right, foreplay over. Let's get started. We'll set the menu for the Wednesday edition of Ben and Woods. It is coming up after Kelly Danick's traffic. Ben Woods and Paul with you here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It was a busy night for hoops last night. Even Woods turned on some basketball, and we will talk about it coming up here. Aztecs, all the local teams in action, college, NBA. It was definitely a Tuesday night for basketball fans. That's what you do in the off season. Yeah. A little basketball watching when you wait for baseball season to start again.
I agree.
So we'll talk about a little bit of what we watched last night coming up here in a couple of minutes at the bottom of the hour. But there is plenty of baseball talk to get to, including a topic that was broached yesterday on this show. And then I heard them talking about it on Annie and Elston. And then again on Gwen and Chris. It was the JT Rogan tweet yesterday about Blake Snell and what he had, you know, said to JT that, you know, he'd love to come back to the Padres, but AJ Preller told him just not sure whether, you know, ownership's going to be able to, you know, fork out the cash this off season. And it's led to a lot of talk in this town. And we're going to talk about it today on, you know, what the Padres do need to commit this off season to. If they want to keep that championship window open, what is required, both, you know, roster-wise and financially for the Padres to, you know, keep that foot in the door and not let it close? They did a great job of wedging it open this past season with a lot less salary. But can you continue to do that, or is it going to be required, incumbent upon the team to spend a little bit more money this offseason and go back into the luxury tax if they really want to put a World Series contender on the field? And we're going to discuss that this morning at 7:35.
I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it tremendously.
Interesting topic here. Also, some new talk about Garrett Crochet trade scenarios and teams that could be interested on ESPN.com this morning. The Padres were mentioned. We can discuss whether you'd be willing to include Ethan Salas in a trade discussion with the Chicago White Sox for a premier pitcher. You know, whether or not you get Roky Sasaki, you've got a plan, Woods, this offseason, I think, with the idea that you're not going to get Roky Sasaki.
Right.
You cannot simply decide that, hey, you know, hopefully we will convince him, and once he does, that solves all of our pitching issues and we're good to go. You have to prepare this offseason for the fact that Roky Sasaki could go to the Dodgers or someone else. Cannot be the centerpiece of everything you do, because he could easily choose to go somewhere else, and then what do you have? It'll be, you know, February and go, well, that was our offseason, was trying to woo Roky Sasaki, and he decided to go somewhere else.
Yeah, and then you're sitting there going, well, I mean, yeah, that's not a guy you can put. It's not a guy that you can put all of your eggs into his basket and just hope for the best. It's not. You actually have to build your team hoping that the way that you've built your team is attractive to Roky Sasaki. Does that make sense? Like, Let's add pieces and let Roky Sasaki say, well, oh man, yeah, the Dodgers have a great team. Obviously, they got a lot of guys coming back, but you know, where do I fit in there? And what are they bringing back? You know, they're going to have a good team. They're going to roll out of bed and win 100 games.
I think Shohei Ohtani is a cautionary tale, going to the Angels and then ending up on a team that never really put the right pieces around him.
100%.
You know, I think some people are saying the Angels, hey, if Shohei went to the Angels, then Roky Sasaki could go anywhere. I think because Shohei went to the Angels, it actually limits the places where Roky would be willing to go. If I'm coming over from Japan and I'm looking at an organization and I go, there's not really much of a track record there, I don't know what they've got, I'd be very hesitant to pick that team.
I still have no idea why that came about. You know, I really don't. Wanted to be, maybe, I mean, again, I'd seen an interview with him recently that said when he was young, you know, do you think you'll end up on the Dodgers? And he said, yes, I do. So maybe that was it. They didn't have the ability to DH at the time, so he picked the closest team to the Dodgers. He wanted to be in LA, I guess, but it makes no sense. You know, it makes no sense at all. Well, and think about laying in bed at night knowing you had that guy on your team for how long? 5 years? Five?
And
did
six.
Six and did nothing. Did nothing. Nothing.
Nothing at all.
Literally nothing.
Now, the Angels did spend.
They spent.
But they spent poorly.
They did.
And it ended up really torpedoing the entire time that Shohei Ohtani was on their team.
Yeah, we've got, and people in the chat, you know, and we'll say stuff, and we'll get into everything else. But, I mean, Jeff is in here saying that Blake Snell is basically Vasquez or Waldron. And I'm going to need to push back on that at some point during the day. Jeff, I love you, but that's a bit misguided. It's a bit misguided.
That is.
Yeah.
Unless I missed Matt Waldron's Cy Young Award.
Correct.
It's possible. I'll look up the
both
list.
Both of them?
Both of them.
Both of them. Right.
Check the list again.
Correct.
Just to make sure Matt Waldron's name doesn't appear twice.
Randy Vasquez
on the list of Cy Young Award winners. But, yeah, no, I there's a lot of value there with Blake Snell, I think. But we'll talk about that. I want to talk a little college football, even Wood said. Hey, we're getting to the point here where, you know, had new playoff rankings come out yesterday. It's going to be kind of interesting coming down the stretch. We didn't talk a lot of college football yesterday, so we'll mention that. Jeff Passan had a great offseason Primer? I don't know how you say that word.
Isn't it primer?
Primer.
When is it primer? When has it ever been primer?
I think the British people call it a primer.
No, that's the Premier League.
A primer? No, that's a primer. Premier League. That's different.
The Brits call it a primer?
A primer, not a primer.
Instead of a primer?
Yeah,
well,
I think
we're
they call it
Brits,
a primer.
So why?
You have told me that you were maybe in another life you were a Brit. So I'm just trying to make you feel comfortable.
All right. Well, it makes me feel uncomfortable when you say primer.
An off-season primer.
There you go.
With a lot of news and notes, some of which involves the San Diego Padres, and we can get into some of the nuggets that he dropped yesterday. Paulie's got his round of report in the 9 o'clock hour, and it should be a good show for a Wednesday. No guests today, but as Woods likes to say, we don't need them.
No,
on this program,
guests are for the week.
All right, we'll start with a little hoops when we come back. Though San Diego State rolled, and I mean. Rolled last night, as they should.
As they should have, yes. But
if you can be impressive against a Division III team, they were last night
at
Viejas Arena. We were all watching it. We can talk a little hoops when we come back. It's Ben and Woods.
San Diego State Primer.
Yeah, it's the San Diego State Primer.
Primer.
Coach Prim time, Deion Sanders.
Prim time. It's Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Coach Prim.
Happy. Yeah, when you have an elementary text on something, like Jeff Passan writing about the offseason, it is pronounced primer. If you have the first coat of paint on a house, that's
primer.
The primer.
All right.
But a text, like a textbook or a writing on a subject, that is pronounced primer. And that's American English.
No one's
that's
ever
not
said
even
that.
No, English English.
Mm-mm.
So
never been said.
That is correct.
You're priming the pump. Like we're priming you. You don't prim the pump.
No, you don't prim the
pump. You're priming them with a primer.
But this is a text. This is something that is written, and that is called a primer.
All right.
Not a primer, even though it's spelled with one M and not two M.
I'm going to start calling it the Primer League and just see how many soccer fans slit my throat.
That's totally different.
I understand, but it sounds funny to me. Have you guys been watching the Primer League? It's really good. And just watch people lose their minds. If we could get soccer people commenting on our YouTube feed in anger... We'd be millionaires because they are very passionate. Very passionate. And they want you to say things the right way. It's very important.
Give you a little primer on last night's Aztecs basketball game coming up after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. I guess it's probably a fair question to ask. Why is San Diego State even playing that game last night against a Division III school? Looked like a junior high team, essentially.
It was a scrimmage, basically. That's how I say it now,
by the way.
Scrimmage.
It was definitely not a competitive game. It was 18-0 like that.
I put the kids down. I came back in. It was 18-0. It was 7:03 or something. I literally was like, what the hell did I miss? It was insane.
The Aztecs in their first game against UCSD scored 24 in the first half. They had 25 by the first media timeout last night. Against Occidental, which is a Division III school from Los Angeles. I played against Occidental in college golf.
They
were in our league.
Yeah. How'd you do?
SCIAC.
What's SCIAC? That's the league?
Southern California Intercollegiate Athletic Conference.
SCIAC.
They're part of that with Pomona, Pitzer, with Claremont Mud Scripps, Cal Lutheran.
How'd you
That's
do?
Who we played.
Were they a rival?
They were a rival. Oh,
yeah, same division.
One of our bigger rivals, I would say, because they're also a really old Los Angeles liberal arts school.
Ben Affleck went there.
Ben Affleck went there.
Barack Obama went there.
Also attended Occidental College.
Crazy. In the L.A. area, so is it like...
Do they do
honorary degrees for celebrities or something?
No, I think they actually went there.
No, they actually went there and studied.
Yeah.
Undergrad.
Affleck was taking like philosophy 101 there.
Good morning. Yeah, 100%.
Huh.
Occidental.
It's near Pasadena, I think, kind of Eagle Rock area, and it's been there for, more than a century. Oxy, they call it. Very, very old school. But it's a Division III non-scholarship basketball program that was completely overmatched last night by San Diego State's bigger, faster, more talented basketball players, and it really wasn't all that entertaining. I mean, it wasn't that competitive, but there is a purpose for games like that. For Brian Dutcher, he gets a chance to play a bunch of guys who don't get a ton of playing time the rest of the season. Got all of his, walk-ons and bench warmers, plenty of minutes last night. Did not play Miles Byrd, who did twist his ankle in practice on Monday. And that is a bit of a concern because the next game is against Gonzaga, fourth-ranked Gonzaga on Monday. And you're going to need, well, you needed to shoot like you did against Occidental, but also have, you know, Miles Byrd and know you're going to play a much, much tougher opponent in your next game. But
yeah, he was in a boot, too, after the game.
Crutches in a boot is never a good sign.
That's not great, Bob.
Dutch said, you know, well, hopefully he'll be ready. Game time decision. You know, they won't know, but, you know, cross your fingers that Miles Byrd can be back. But we saw Magoon Gwoth with 16 points. Wayne McKinney III, who is the transfer from USD.
Man.
He was hot early. You get his shot going. BJ Davis also had 16. You had three straight threes from another transfer, Kimo Ferrari, a San Diego kid who went to Brown and came back from Francis Parker High School. They have some shooters on this team, which is, you know, in the past, you know, Paulie, you know, the San Diego State has not always been known for three-point shooting ability.
They'd beat you 52-46.
Yeah. But there are multiple guys who can make it from long range on this team, which makes you, I think, always a more dangerous opponent in college basketball.
Of course.
Obviously, you know, you got to worry about a team that can all of a sudden get hot from three-point range. They made 10 of their first 12.
Crazy.
Finished with 18 three-pointers overall in the game. And, you know, cruised to a 100-49 win last night. Now, that won't really count toward any metrics or anything because it's a Division III team. But guess what? The tickets, the sold-out arena, the concessions, that all, you know, helps fuel the program. And, you know, that counts toward at least supporting San Diego State basketball. So that's why they play that game.
Back to the question, because I literally texted you yesterday and asked, why even play this game? If San Diego State somehow lost that game yesterday.
Or even played poorly.
Yeah, but I'm saying like an L in the scorebook. You're telling me that wouldn't affect them at all. Voters, AP top 25 voters wouldn't look at that. They wouldn't see that box score and be like, yikes.
I think.
Like, why play that? I just don't understand playing that game. That doesn't help you and can only hurt you?
It can't hurt. Well, it really can't hurt you. I mean, there's no way you can lose that game.
I mean, you can.
You could.
I mean, you watched it.
I saw it. It looked like me against Bo and his friends out there.
I mean, it's much more dangerous to play UCSD than it is to play Occidental. You know, that UCSD, while they're a decent team and they're going to be ranked probably around 100 in the, you know, in the RPI and the KenPom, you lose that game, that actually does hurt you. Occidental, you really can't lose that game, and it doesn't hurt you in terms of your strength of schedule because it doesn't count. So it's essentially, it is essentially a scrimmage in many senses of the word, except, you know, ultimately you'll put it on your record and you get to keep all the money that you make during the game. You know, it's feel like a good Aztecs fan for supporting your program and going to that game last night and seeing some players play that you probably won't get to play the rest of the season because, well, they're not going to be part of the regular rotation.
So, but I mean, watching a guy like Kimo Ferrari who comes in, Ben, and is draining threes and it doesn't give Brian Dutcher any pause to say, yeah, let's try to get him some.
Well, it's confidence builder, sure.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, that's part of it too. You know, go out and give your team some confidence that we can put up points in a hurry. Yeah, no one's in our face, and we can shoot right over the heads of these guys.
It wasn't from a lack of effort from Occidental. It really wasn't. They really busted their ass. I watched most of the game.
I felt bad for them in the first few minutes.
Yeah, like, they were just overmatched.
I'm sure they're thinking, like, well, they're gonna miss.
They're going to miss a couple
shots. At some
point,
right? I mean, they can't make everything, and just everything was going in and going, oh, we drove all the way down through the traffic for this. This is getting kind of ugly.
I put myself in the shoes of an Occidental player. You're like, all right, we got to just play defense. Like,
yeah.
It's going to be tough to score on these guys. But, like, you know, they can't make every shot. And
boy,
then they come out and they literally make every shot.
I mean, Wayne McKinney could not miss early. Everything he threw up went
just,
in.
You throw your hands up and you're like, ah.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to see. You know, it's good to see on the home court. It's good to see shots dropping. I mean, again, I don't care who you're playing. The shots got to go in. And they did. And it was pretty much over 10 minutes in.
I actually flipped it over. You were still watching, and by the second half, I had turned the channel to ESPN, which is just one down on my cable dial at work, to see Kentucky, number 19 Kentucky, take on number 6 Duke in that State Farm Classic game, and see Lamont Butler playing for the Kentucky Wildcats. First time I had actually sat down and seen him in a new uniform, and you know, he was actually starting. I wasn't sure if he was going to be in the starting lineup for Kentucky. That is the new college basketball in a nutshell. Kentucky, Cleaned house, new coach, Mark Pope, new players, 9 transfers and 2 freshmen. Wow. There's not like a single guy back on that team. It's essentially a team of mercenaries that have come in from programs all over America, including Lamont Butler from San Diego State, to try to put together a team that can compete maybe even for a national championship. And last night against Duke, they certainly looked like a team that might be able to compete. Duke has the all-world freshman in Cooper Flagg, who was really, really good. 26 points and 12 rebounds. He's only 17 years old still.
That is absolutely bananas.
Playing against these, you know, sixth-year seniors like Lamont Butler.
He's like
who
the
are,
number one player in America.
Yeah, but Cooper Flagg is going to be the number one draft pick. He was fantastic until the last minute when they tried, you know, in a tie game and then down two, kind of tried to force the action and committed a couple of late turnovers against a, you know, a veteran and experienced Kentucky team. He'll learn from that, but clearly he was the best player on the court. A 17-year-old playing against some of the best players in America. It was very impressive last night. But Duke did take the loss, and I thought that was a very interesting, it was not just an interesting game, but to see a team of nothing but transfers. It's like the new college basketball in a nutshell.
It's like an expansion team or something, basically.
Kind of, yeah, it is. It's like a baseball expansion draft where you've just taken, all right, take this guy from here and this guy from this program.
Think about Lamont Butler, who puts him snap 2 years ago in the Final Four, hits the buzzer beater, comes back for one more year with San Diego State, but he's already on everyone's radar now at that point, and then he gets plucked from, you know, the Blue Bloods, the Kentuckys, the Kansas, the Dukes. You know, steal from the poor little Mountain West schools, pluck their best player. Now he's starting for freaking Kentucky.
And playing well. Playing really well. And it's, I mean, you got to be happy for him, right? He did his part here, certainly, and now he gets a chance to go and shine on an even bigger stage.
He's a legend. He's always welcome at Viejas Arena.
I put in the rundown, I added this morning, Ben, because I think my wife's listening right now, and I need you to explain. For her, obviously, not me, the NBA Cup, because she, so we were lying in bed last night, and she leaves for New York in the morning, New York City, with her mom, annual girls trip, and I got the kids and the whole bit. So she says, I'm going to the Garden on Friday night for the NBA Cup. I said, for what? She said, it's called the NBA Cup. I go, what are you talking about? And so I go to ESPN, and I was like, Knicks, Nets, NBA Cup, it says underneath.
Were you not watching last year? Was she not watching last year?
Neither
of us
were watching last
year. When they debuted the NBA Cup?
So it's that in-season tournament.
Yeah, last year was kind of called the in-season tournament. Now it's the Emirates Cup. They got a sponsor for it. But it's the same as last year. So starting last night.
So last night was the first night.
Certain games and days are designated as in-season tournament days.
I thought it was like every Tuesday, Thursday or something.
Usually I think it's like Tuesdays for the next few weeks.
Fridays.
And you have different pools, like different groups, where you'll play all your 3 teams. Now, they also count as regular season games.
Okay.
They're part of the normal schedule, so they'll go on your record.
This is what I was telling her. She just didn't grasp it.
But specifically, if you can win your group, then you advance on to the quarterfinals, and then it's quarterfinals, semifinals, and they have a championship game.
And it's all around other regular season games.
And they're all included. Other than the championship game of the tournament,
right,
which is outside of the scope of the regular season, every other game counts as one of your regular season games.
So it's not, and so teams aren't playing extra games other than if you make the finals.
The final.
You have one extra game. Okay.
Last year, of course, the Lakers won the inaugural NBA Cup tournament.
And
they put different floors on the courts.
That's
so you can just quickly see, oh, this is an NBA Cup game.
I saw the blue floor last night and in Philly. I think it was in Philly. And it is a scene. I mean, it is. It's like watching them play at Boise State, basketball on the Boise State field. It's very, very odd. It's a little off-putting, I'll tell you that right now.
The biggest scene last night in the NBA, though, was Golden State, where Klay Thompson returned with the Dallas Mavericks to a hero's welcome.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Fans, employees, teammates, all hailing the return of Clay. They gave out captain's hats to all the fans.
It's pretty legit, man.
Who all wore it. And then, you know, Clay hits a big three and does the Steph shimmy. But then in the end, Steph Curry hits a giant three and does his old 99. Yep. It was one of the more entertaining regular season basketball games of the year with the Golden State Warriors pulling out the win. They continue their hot start last night, but kind of a feel-good moment for everybody with Clay returning, and they get to express their thanks and gratitude for the championships and everything that he contributed to in that long run of success for the Golden State Warriors.
She's pretty excited about going. She's never been to an NBA game.
So I've never been to the Garden. I would love to go to Madison Square Garden.
I saw the Knicks play there a long time.
You've been to the Garden.
Patrick Ewing days. I was 14, maybe. My Aunt Kathy took me, and it was... I mean, it's
that's one. If you get to New York, you don't care about the matchup.
You don't care. You just got to go.
Just got
to
be there.
I went to the old Boston Garden too, which is.
I've been to the Boston Garden, the old one, the parquet floors, no air conditioning,
just poles right in the middle of seats. I mean, it's as big of a dump as you. It looked like it was on TV. Actually, no, on TV it looked beautiful, but apparently, if you played on that court, they're like. This is the worst place to play in America. There were dead spots. You would dribble and you would hit a dead spot and the ball would squirt away. Like it there was like waves on the court. It was horrible. Yeah,
the Celtics knew where the dead spots were, but the opponents didn't necessarily know. So
it's pretty cool. So she's excited to go to the Garden and see the Nets and Knicks. That'll be fun.
Very cool. Yeah. Is it good seats?
Probably
decent seats.
My guess is yes.
Knicks got a fun squad.
Yeah, there will be there won't be any nose bleeding. I can promise you that. They'll be close.
All right, good hoops talk this morning.
Look at us.
Now, when we come back, some congratulations in order for a trio of Padres, including, I would say, a bit of a victory lap for one Manny Machado after the start he got off to last
year. This is Manny Machado.
Also had a move yesterday in Major League Baseball. We'll get to that and take on Woods coming up in our next segment. Ben and Woods, 1 hour in the books on a Wednesday on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.